This weekend, thousands of athletes will be in Providence, Rhode Island to compete in a tournament that's been a mainstay in the Chinese-American community for generations. Nine-man is a version of volleyball that originated in Asia and became popular among Chinese immigrants in the U.S. in the 1930s. Amy Moon of WBUR has more.
Bobby Goon is a dentist, but in local nine-man volleyball, he's an elder statesman. He's the head coach of the Boston Knights, a club that was formed more than 60 years ago in Boston's Chinatown. Goon joined the Knights as a teen.
I made it in 1971, 72. I played until I went to dental school, and then I had to take a hiatus for a while because my mother said education was a little bit more important than volleyball.
Goon is also one of the organizers of this weekend's Labor Day event, the pinnacle of the nine-man season. Earlier this summer, more than 40 teams representing clubs from Boston and New York met in a parking lot for one of several regional competitions that led up to this weekend's 77th North American Invitational.
We're outside. We're not in a controlled indoor environment where it's air-conditioned and you got nice floors. As you can see, the ground is asphalt.
While some players warmed up, others were tying nets to street lamps and sticking bright yellow tape over parking spaces to create about a dozen courts. The scrappy setup harkened back to Boston during the Great Depression, when immigrants from Toisan, China, played volleyball in the alleys behind the laundries where they worked. They strung makeshift nets and used rolled-up towels as volleyballs. Goon says the unpredictability of playing on the streets adds drama that's still part of nine-man's appeal today.
A truck just ran over a Jersey barrier on the edge there. That's Chinese style. Just back it up and go away. All right, that's nine-man culture right there.
The rules for nine-man are also different from international volleyball. There are three additional players on each side. The courts are bigger, the net is lower, and the players don't rotate. Teams can deploy as many as five or six attackers at a time and confuse defenders at the net with quick, deceptive moves. There's no record of when nine-man was first played in the U.S., but filmmaker Ursula Liang says it gained traction during a tough time for Chinese immigrants here. She directed an award-winning 2014 documentary about nine-man and its roots in Chinatown.
This was a community that was facing a lot of legislated discrimination in the U.S.
Because of laws restricting immigration, the Chinese population in the U.S. was mostly male, living in isolated communities and limited to jobs that were considered feminine, like cooking or doing laundry. Liang says nine-man offered an escape from the stresses of everyday life and the harsh working conditions.
This game in the beginning was one of those things that really saved them emotionally. It was a way for them to let off steam, a way for them to have community, and still feel like they had some sort of manhood.
Liang says local teams began traveling once a year to play and connect with Chinese immigrants in neighboring cities. The Labor Day tournament was launched in Boston in 1944. To this day, women do not play nine-man. Some of the clubs have added women's teams that use six players and follow international rules. But for men and women, nine-man has specific ethnicity requirements. Two-thirds of the players on the court must be, quote, 100% Chinese, and the remaining players have to be of Asian descent.
It was at a time when people think that Asian Americans have advanced to a certain place in this world and assimilated in America. But there was a sense of insecurity, if you will, that made folks feel like this is something that we want to hold on to, and we still need a protected space.
Teams may be required to prove to tournament officials that they have a legal lineup. Forged birth certificates have become part of nine-man urban legend. It's also a headache for coaches. When making substitutions, they have to consider a player's ethnicity to ensure a legal team at all times. But the rules have created an environment that many players embrace.
Hi, I'm Matt Mock. I'm 100% Chinese, and I play on the Boston Hurricanes.
Mock was introduced to nine-man by his father. This is his sixth season.
I grew up in Needham, Massachusetts. It's mostly very suburban, a lot of white people. I grew up not really having much friends and feeling, you know, like an outsider. So, you know, just being able to be around people that are the same race as me is really good for me.
And some multiracial and non-Chinese Asian families say nine-man helps them connect to broader Asian American history and culture. Martha Wu says her son started playing nine-man this year.
My husband is Caucasian, so my kids are half and half. So it's really important for us to get as much of the Asian culture as we can into their lives, simply because it's not 100% of our household.
There are currently no plans to change the eligibility rules, but tournament organizer Bobby Goon says nine-man, like other American traditions, will continue to evolve.
At 77 years on this tournament, we're older than the National Basketball Association. You look at the NBA, look at nine-man, there's going to be changes.
There is one major change this year. With more than 2,500 players expected, the tournament has become too big for Boston's Chinatown. So it's headed to Providence, where it'll take place indoors in the relative comfort of the Rhode Island Convention Center. Players from across North America will compete for a year's worth of bragging rights and the chance to be the pride of their city's Chinatown. For Here and Now, I'm Amy Moon.